every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 33rd year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nierad. With me is guest co-host Matt DiLorenzo. Matt, you just got back from Europe. I'm curious about how your trip was.
It was terrific. We visited Munich, and then we did a Danube River cruise and ended up in Budapest for a couple of days. So spectacular.
Love that. Yeah, well, I went Detroit, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, so a little bit different than that. Plenty of news to talk about this week. Ford's Model T moment came and went this week. We'll have our comments on what we heard and saw and what we didn't. We'll tell you all about that coming up. And General Motors had a debacle with its Cruise self-driving vehicle division, but now GM execs have decided to give autonomous driving another go. There's a big shift this time around. I, for one, find it very surprising. Are you surprised by their new tack on this, Matt?
In a way, you know, the way that they're couching it as an extension of Super Cruise makes a lot of sense. But yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that at length in the next segment. Mercury Insurance has just released its annual list of vehicles that are the most affordable to insure, and we'll have all the details for you on that. And there's good news from Dodge about one of our favorite vehicles, the Dodge Durango, which was our constant companion during our recent Made in America tour. We'll tell you all about the recent developments for 2026 coming up. So we have a lot to talk about this week. Is there a story you find most interesting, Matt?
I think the Model T thing. Moment is going to be a big talking point for the future.
Yeah, in more ways than one. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Only One Thing Stays the Same, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today from drivingtoday.com/autoinsurance. That's drivingtoday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners of the show know, Matt is the author of How to Buy an Affordable Electric Car, A Tightwad's Guide to EV Ownership. We've been reviewing cars for years, and we like to get together to talk about cars. Typical co-host Chris Teague is off this week. Matt, what is your test vehicle for this week?
It's going to be the all-electric IONIQ 9 from Hyundai. It's a three-row, full-size SUV. Very interesting.
I think it's interesting, and I can't wait to hear your take on it, Matt. My test vehicle this week is the 2025 Mazda CX-5 Carbon Edition. It's one of the most cost-effective vehicles I've driven this year. So a lot coming up. Stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Protect your home and auto by bundling them with Progressive, and you'll have a little less to worry about. But we know you'll find other things to worry about. Like that text you just got from your boss. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Hey, call me when you get a sec. Oh, hey, call me when you get a sec. Yeah, this is bad. Oh, well, at least you protected your home and auto with Progressive, so you don't have to worry about that. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Thank you. John, what are you doing? Get in my car. Why are you walking to work?
Thanks, man. It's these insanely high gas prices. They are draining my bank account. I can't afford to drive anymore.
Dude, don't walk. Just do what I do, because I never pay full price for gas anymore. I use the free Upside app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait, you're telling me you get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code BILL for an extra 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code BILL. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code BILL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code BILL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
The Columbia Interchange system was revolutionary when it was designed over 40 years ago, and it's still breaking ground to this day, featuring 3-in-1 jackets that adapt to fluctuating weather patterns to keep you warm, dry, and protected no matter what. Whatever the weather, Interchange is there. Shop Interchange jackets and more at Columbia.com.
Welcome back to America on the Road with guest co-host Matt DiLorenzo. This is Jack Nerad back with you. Chris Teague is off this week. I think he's fetching a press car in Boston or somewhere. So we're lucky to have Matt with us. It's always a pleasure to have Matt with us. And Matt, there was something that was touted to us a week or so ago, Ford's Model T moment. Their $5 billion EV, as it turns out, EV gamble, I guess, is a way to describe it, where they did a big press conference and made sure that everybody who was anybody was paying attention to this, listening in and all that. And I don't know about you, but I had a particular reaction to this. I'm kind of curious as to your reaction before I spoil the pot by telling mine.
Well, they've already wasted $5 billion on electric vehicles. So to commit another $5 billion more and to sort of reinvent this thing, I mean, there's some good elements in terms of the assembly line process, but we've heard this thing for years about the skateboard and using common architecture for different vehicles. There's nothing new here. And it's kind of repackaging, and they're promising a $30,000 crew cab pickup in 2 years when they already have the Maverick. I'm not inclined to give them a pass on what they've
done. Well, yeah, I'm entirely with you. I think this thing fell flat. Something big was touted. They never even showed us the vehicle, not even a rendering, anything. You know, I spent an hour of my life that I'm never going to get back watching, you know, a guy I like, Jim Farley, talk, but then the governor of Kentucky, gave his kind of speech, and, you know, there were plenty of people from the various workers groups. The UAW was heavily represented in this presentation, but not much in the way of product presentation. And when you're promising something as earth-shattering as the Model T, I think maybe there's got to be a little more beef there.
Yeah, and again, the affordability is an issue. And the fact that the target price of this thing is more than the Maverick. So, you know, the Model T didn't come out costing more than other cars. It costs less. Now this electric may cost less than other electrics on the market, but it's certainly not going to be the lowest priced vehicle on the market. So for it to lead some sort of EV revolution that may or may not happen, I'm highly skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, I also wonder at the timing of this. I mean, I think you and I have talked about, I think already, maybe we've reached peak EV, at least for the time being, where because, you know, certainly there's giant headwinds against EVs these days, including the end of the tax breaks for EV purchase. I'm hard-pressed to see, again, as you mentioned, what was new here. We've seen so much of it reminded me of General Motors' Ultium announcement that was 3 or 4 years ago, right? I mean, it's kind of the same stuff, but, you know, maybe packaged a bit differently.
I'll take you
but
back
not...
a little bit further, Jack. Remember Saturn?
Yeah, true enough, yeah. I do remember Saturn, yeah.
And Saturn did meet with limited success when it came out. It was sort of revolutionary. But again, the cost structure and trying to compete with low-cost cars from other countries. And again, this is where I think tariffs really come into play, where I hear a lot of complaining out of Detroit about the tariffs, when in fact the 25% tariffs on trucks has protected that gold mine for them.
Yeah, forever and ever.
If they had these other tariffs all along, maybe they could have a sustainable, affordable, small car on the market today. But... you know, they did it to themselves. They exported a lot of their supply chains and things. Getting that stuff back is going to take time, and it's not going to be cheaper.
Right, right. I mean, just getting back to the car, what we heard about the car, it's kind of more interesting or, you know, telling what we didn't hear about the car. You know, the range of the vehicle, charge times about the vehicle. There's a lot of things about it that... if this was going to wow us, I think there should have been more. I'm kind of amazed at what I saw as this unfolded in front of me.
Yeah, I agree. I think they should have had some sort of concept, a drawing, something other than that little changing icon showing like a SUV and a pickup truck and whatever. But it's still and for it to be happening in a 2-year time frame is also a head scratcher, because all new vehicles, even if they're electric, still take at least 3 years, as far as I know, bring to market. And I think this thing's going to slip as well, which isn't great for helping their credibility on these issues.
No, I just don't know why they came out with this at this point. I mean, it could be exciting. I just don't think it was as exciting as it was suggested it would be. Let's put it that way.
Right. I wish them luck, but it's no revolution.
Right. Well, here's another bit of a head scratcher too. General Motors is putting autonomous driving back into the fast lane. This time it's aiming for consumers as opposed to ride hailing. You know, it shut down its Cruise robo-taxi unit last year amid, you know, a great deal of controversy and problems and this and that, including, I think, some injuries in the San Francisco area, some bad, bad stuff. Now they're putting together a new effort, and it's going to focus on self-driving for consumers, which strikes me as a lot harder than for a robo-taxi, right? I mean, robo-taxi, you have some kind of controlled environment in which you're operating. In this situation, you could be operating the vehicle anywhere, right?
Well, I think one of the things that I heard from this announcement was the fact that they're looking at it as an extension of their Super Cruise program. So I think the robo-taxi thing was highly ambitious, very expensive to do, and something that's kind of outside of their core business. Whereas I see they're kind of dragging autonomy back in closer to their core business, which is building cars for consumers. And if they can build on what seems to be a successful Super Cruise program, it makes sense because it'll cost less than the Cruise project. And it's an extension of stuff that's going on already in-house. So it's incrementalism, I call it.
Yeah, okay, that makes some sense to me, and I'm glad you put that into perspective. Let's talk about Mercury's list of the most inexpensive vehicles to insure quickly. I mean, Chevrolet Colorado LT tops the list of trucks, then the Silverado C3500. Ford is there with the Maverick, aforementioned Maverick, the Ranger pickup, the F-150, and F-350 Super Duty. Those are all fairly clear wins. The Hyundai Santa Cruz is on the list, as is the Toyota Tundra and the Tacoma. So that's covered up pretty well. Hyundai Santa Fe is the ranked as most affordable to insure among SUVs. And several Hondas are on the list. It's kind of interesting. A lot of people, I don't think, pay much attention to how much it costs to insure a vehicle before they buy it. But it's an important part of your cost over time, isn't it?
It's a great thing to look at. I mean, it's part of your total cost. And the fact that they're putting this list out there to give you a heads up is really valuable consumer information.
Right. Here's another piece of consumer information that I think is interesting. Dodge Durango is going to be all V8 all the time coming for 2026. They're dropping the V6 engine, which had some issues, frankly. And I love the fact of what they're doing here. I think they're making Dodge Dodge, right? And I think that's kind of a cool thing to do.
You know, this is more evidence, too, that kind of relaxing the fuel economy standards, getting rid of the fines. This will allow people to buy vehicles that they want to buy. It'll allow Stellantis to build vehicles that they need to survive. And I think it's a win-win for Dodge and Stellantis.
Yeah, I love all of these things. The Dodge, the Durango RT is going to be priced around $43,000 with a big romp and stomp and V8. So a lot of stuff there. I like that a lot. And, of course, the Hellcat we had is just terrific. And also very effectively priced. Remind me, Matt, of the vehicle you're testing.
I'm driving, I've driven the Hyundai Ioniq 9 electric three-row SUV.
And I will be testing the Mazda CX-5 Carbon Edition. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jack Nerad with you, along with guest co-host Matt DiLorenzo. We always love having Matt on the show. It is road test time, and we have a couple, I think, very interesting vehicles for you. We try to have interesting vehicles. I mean, this is an entertainment show, after all. But, Matt, you were driving a three-row electric SUV. Tell us about it.
Yes, I was behind the wheel of a Hyundai Ioniq 9, which is a three-row full-size SUV. All electric, all-wheel drive. I had sort of the mid trim level SEL, and it starts at about $66,000. And it offers a range of 320 miles, which is quite good. You can get a base, just a two-wheel drive model, 215 horsepower, that'll go 335 miles. Or if you want the more performance version, that'll go 311 miles, but you get over 400 horsepower. The one I had 300 horsepower, which was more than enough for merging, getting on the freeway, and driving around town. It's an interesting looking vehicle, I have to say. When you look at it from the front, it looks like a regular SUV. Inside, kind of has the same SUV-ish look, but you get around to the back, and it looks like a spaceship. It has a kind of a long roof that just goes straight down in a vertical lift back that's all glass, and it's got this really kind of cool LED lights that make a horseshoe effect around the top of the around the roof and the top of the lift gate. So I think some people think, oh, that's too strange for me. Other people go, that's really cool.
Right.
So I like the look. I like driving it. And it had a couple of really interesting features. You could adjust the regen using the paddles and go to one pedal driving. And I always wonder, I think when I have like a one pedal thing going, I lift, I go, do my brake lights come on? You know, because you're not
putting on the
brake.
Yeah, good question. I always wonder that too.
They have a little avatar in the middle of the dash. And I played with this thing, and if you're on zero or one and you lift, the lights won't come on until you hit the brake. But if you're in any other regen mode, when you lift and on a little icon, your brake lights go on. So to me it was reassuring, and that was a big deal. Little things.
Well, nuance does mean a lot in cars these days, that's for sure.
Yeah. So overall I was very impressed with the vehicle. Now, I will say I did take it to an EVgo station to recharge before they came to pick it up. And on DC charging, it took 45 minutes to get 85% charge, which got it back up over 300 miles. It cost almost $60. I was paying 73 cents a kilowatt hour for the recharge, which is triple what I pay at home. So that was another.
It's like premium gas, right?
You know, thinking you're going to save gas, you know, electrons can cost a lot, especially if you use public charging.
Right. One of the things I found about the Ioniq 9 is the interior space. It doesn't seem all that big exterior-wise, but because of the architecture, the fact that it's an electric, I mean, there's a lot of interior space, isn't there?
Yeah, especially in the second and third rows. I think that long roof helps those two rows feel a little bit roomier. You can get these really cool captain's chairs that have like footrests or leg rests that come out. It really is a comfortable vehicle. It's almost minivan-ish.
It is,
in a way.
Yeah.
They have a front console that will slide back and forth, or you can take it out to have that old pass-through effect that you would get in a minivan, which is kind of odd because their sister division, Kia, they have a minivan, the Carnival, and the cockpit's more like an SUV. So it's kind of a role reversal here. But I kind of like it. I think there's a lot of little innovation and surprise and delight features that have been missing from vehicles lately.
Yeah. And what was the price? You probably have talked about it.
So the one I had was the midline. It was like $66,000, which is, you know, a little spendy. But for a full-size SUV, you know, if you're in like a Traverse, you probably spend as much. The cheapest one comes in at about $59,000, and the most expensive one, which is the Calligraphy and the Performance, is about $76,000. So, you know, as far as electric SUV goes, it is competitively priced.
Yeah, as an electric SUV. As a full-size SUV, well, it's right. No Chevy Tahoe. That's for certain.
It is not.
Well, I was driving a vehicle that we complain a lot about vehicles being so expensive these days. I think the Mazda CX-5 Carbon Edition that I was driving is one of the most cost-effective vehicles I've driven this year, and there's a lot to like about it. I think in a lot of ways this is a premium SUV without a premium price. There are things about it that are not particularly premium, but the premium stuff is the exterior styling, the interior. We had red leather interior in this thing that makes a statement, certainly. A lot of safety items. Sandy and I, my wife and I, had a chance to drive the CX-5 on a round trip about 300 miles to eastern San Diego County. We attended a wedding down there, kind of sweltered in the wedding and then came back. But this turned out to be a great vehicle to do that in. You know, plenty of room for our luggage, plenty of room for another couple to ride to the rehearsal dinner with us and all that kind of stuff. So we like that. It's a good-looking vehicle. 19-inch black alloy wheels kind of set it off. It has, you know, good-looking black power mirrors, integrated turn lamps, rain sensing wipers. It has a lot of premium features, I think, Matt. I mean, what's your kind of overall take on CX-5 and the Carbon Edition in it specifically?
Well, I like that vehicle, and I thought, you know, when they brought out the CX-50 that it wasn't going to be long for the world, but obviously it meets a need within the Mazda line. They've kept it in the lineup. And I think, you know, the size is fairly comparable to the CX-50, but again, the price is not. And it still comes across as a premium vehicle. It's very comfortable to drive. It's very practical. And it's stylish. I mean, really, Mazda has had a way with their exterior styling of making it look and feel premium.
Good stuff, too, like the power lift gate, power moonroof. I mean, those are, in a lot of ways, this is like a luxury brand vehicle. I would say maybe under the hood, not necessarily a luxury brand, in that it had a 2.5-liter inline four-cylinder engine. This was not turbocharged. It's normally aspirated. I kind of like that, actually. 187 horsepower, 185 pound-feet of torque. Not tons of power, but more than adequate power. And I think most people would find this absolutely fine in terms of acceleration. It has a 6-speed automatic transmission, which is kind of a Mazda idiosyncrasy when we're seeing 8, 9, 10 speeds from a lot of other people. It has a sport mode, and it was fun to drive. I mean, we were driving two-lane, you know, zoop, kind of twisty two lanes there in eastern San Diego County pretty significantly, and had a great time with it. So, I think the performance is more than adequate. All-wheel drive is standard. Good suspension tuning, which we expect from Mazda. Fairly good fuel economy, 28 miles per gallon combined. I'm not blowing you away, but plenty of range, 428 miles of range on a full tank of gas. So I like that. And it has a cylinder deactivation, too, which works well for fuel economy. And again, the interior, I like the fact that it has 8-way power seat and a power front passenger seat, which you don't necessarily see in vehicles at this price range. And I should mention the price. It was around $33,000. So I think that's pretty darn cool. Your overall take, Matt?
Yeah, I agree. I think affordability is key here. And it is a usable size. You know, there are certainly smaller SUVs out there that aren't as premium that cost just as much. So I think this is really a nice niche that they've landed in being able to leverage a lot of the premium stuff they use on their other vehicles and put it in the CX-5 and make a compelling case for it with a great
Well, as you mentioned, it's long in the tooth, but they fill it with stuff in terms of safety, blind spot monitoring, of course, lane departure, lane keeping assist, rear cross traffic alert, which not all vehicles in its price range have. So smart brake support as well, radar cruise control. I got to try that on the freeways out there. And then it's 10 and a quarter inch color display infotainment system worked pretty well. It has some Mazda idiosyncrasies to it, but they're sorting that out. I think this is a heck of a vehicle at the price of, again, I think our price as tested, I'm going to look at it right here. It is $33,185. I think these days that's pretty darn good.
You know, one of the things that they do is they haven't been overtaken with touchscreen mania. So I'm a little bit more comfortable. Some people complain a little bit about the rotary control, but I think it's a little bit more intuitive to use than some of these more heavily touchscreen driven schemes that you get in some of these.
Well, and if you're using Apple CarPlay, which we use frequently, you can use it as a touchscreen, so that worked fairly well. But you don't have to. You can use the controller there, which used to be the state of the art. So you can. Some people, again, might complain about the infotainment system, but I think it worked quite well for us. And overall, the vehicle worked quite well for us. A good blend of style, technology, and, you know, fun to drive. Fun to drive in something that doesn't cost you the roof. I think that I like that a lot. And when we come back, we will have a special guest. His name is Frank Hanley. He is J.D. Power Senior Director of Auto Benchmarking. He's going to be talking about the recently released initial quality study. So if you care about what vehicles are high quality, well, you will hear it from the horse's mouth from Frank Hanley at J.D. Power. So stay with us for that, and we'll be right back.
The John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
If you didn't think skipping breakfast was a big deal, you'd be right. Before. But now, Wendy's has Buck Biscuits. We're talking sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit, bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, or even the Honey Buddy Chicken Biscuit. For just a buck each. Seriously, you can get all three if you want. They're just a buck. So you'll never skip breakfast again. If you're smart. Breakfast for a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Limit 5 qualifying items per transaction. Not valid in the combo while supplies last.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Kohl's Back to School Sale is here with deals on looks your kids will love all year. Because even though they're sad summer is ending, let's be real, some of us are ready. It's time to trade the all-day PJs and always damp swimsuits for styles that'll keep up and hold up so your kids will be ready too. Shop Kohl's Back to School Sale and bring on the new year. Select styles, prices good through August 17th. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Today. Welcome back, everybody, to America on the Road. We have a terrific guest. He's been on the show before. A very knowledgeable guy from J.D. Power. Frank Hanley is Senior Director of Auto Benchmarking at J.D. Power. We're going to talk about vehicle quality and specifically initial quality. Frank, number one, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
No problem, Jack. Always great to have the opportunity to talk to you.
I love this study, the initial quality study. I mean, it's one of the seminal J.D. Power studies, certainly along with what used to be customer satisfaction is now a little bit different. But tell us a bit what J.D. Power means by initial quality, would you?
So the initial quality study looks at, new vehicles that customers have purchased at 90 days. So this looks, once they've had, the vehicle at 90 days, we send out a survey to them, ask them out of 227 attributes if they've had any problems. We simply collect that feedback and directly feed it back to the consumers and the manufacturers so they get an idea of, how cars are currently doing in the new model year for quality.
Yeah, it's really kind of aimed to provide with manufacturers with information about how their cars are launching and whether they're launching with good quality or they're coming back and people are a bit upset with them. But it also can be used, I think, by consumers as one of the many guides that J.D. Power provides. And we can dive into that a little bit later. But let's talk a little bit about just what the top line findings here, what you discovered this year.
Sure. Well, I mean, the good news this year is we did see the industry improve this year. So the industry did have a lower problem count this year. We do break it out by mass market and premium brands. So mass market brands, they actually did get worse, though, this year. Mass market brands actually are down by, had an increase of 6 problems over where they were last year. Really, what drove the improvement on the industry was on that premium side. Premium brands actually improved by 27 problems this year. So big improvements on the premium sides. When we did start digging into, though, in those premium models, where that improvement came from, it was predominantly from a very big improvement from Tesla this year. As you can imagine, Tesla's a big chunk of the premium market with their high sales volume. And when they had a big improvement this year, it actually drove the entire premium segment to move up with quality this year.
Interesting. But I think still mass market brands as a whole were better in terms of problems than premium brands. Am I right?
They were. I mean, mass market tends to just on average do better than premium brands. Just, I mean, if you think about contenting and stuff, premium brands come with the full breadth of, all the latest and greatest technologies, where mass market, it takes a while for them to catch up for the high penetration that we see on. So mass market was better at 187 problems versus on average premium brands did have 203 problems per 100 vehicles. So mass market was better still than premium brands overall.
Well, and that kind of moves us into where the problems were. And we're still seeing the same kind of problems that we've seen over the last decade, I think, where infotainment systems and those kind of things. But detail that for us. It's kind of interesting where the problems lie these days.
Yeah, so infotainment still does remain the most problematic area in the vehicle. I mean, if you think about it, it really is now, almost a computer on wheels. It's gone a long way from being, I listened to AM, FM radio, years ago. Now it's the central hub of everything that goes on in the car. So infotainment still does remain the most problematic area, though it does improve again this year. So while it is problematic for customers, it is getting better, which is the good news. The manufacturer definitely listening, making corrections to the vehicles in this area. So moving it in the right direction. One of the areas we were really surprised that are starting to see a decline, though, is an area typically in the industry we did not see problems with before, and that's climate, where you go, okay, it's supposed to blow hot and cold air. How difficult can this be? But what we're seeing now is, you know, a lot more manufacturers, again, are starting to remove those knobs and hard buttons for the climate controls and moving into that infotainment screen. And that's where we're seeing the problems. Those customers are not happy with something that used to be a one touch I could do while driving without looking. Now takes, you know, 3-4 steps to get to that screen and the radio. So, you know, they're saying this should not take this many steps. It's way too difficult. So definitely big problems there. Another area we saw a big increase was kind of surprising was the garage door opener. I mean, everybody, again, was used to that universal garage door opener, a hard button in the car. You just reached up and pushed it when you got home. But again, we see now more and more manufacturers putting that in the screen. And if you think about when you use your garage door opener, you're backing out of your garage. Well, what happens? You put your car in reverse and the camera comes up and you can't get
it. You can't even see the screen. Yeah.
So, you know, this is where, again, like some of these things, we kind of probably should look at these executions and go, is this really what is best for the customer? Or go, let's just leave it at a button. It's really easy to use that way.
And I think we're seeing that. I mean, in some of the cars I'm testing most recently, they've talked about that. And largely from what you're doing at J.D. Power, they've learned that this doesn't work out all that well. And we are seeing more buttons and knobs in some of the more recent introductions. And I think that's a good thing.
For sure. For sure. The driver distraction of everything being in the screen is getting to be too much for customers.
Another one that I found actually quite amusing is cup holders. That seems problematic. Again, that seems like a no-brainer, right? But it's not.
Yeah. I mean, it was getting better and better and better. The industry had it really figured out. But where the problem really arose is it's not the manufacturers now. It's actually the consumers. You know, we're all trying to be more eco-friendly, which is great, less plastic bottles and stuff. But what that means, we're all bringing these giant Stanley cups and Yetis into the car now, and they're not designed to hold these massive bottles that we're bringing in. And you can imagine, you put that in your center and it's blocking controls and buttons. And so, this is kind of what the consumer brought on themselves with what they're bringing into the car anymore.
Let's talk about electrics, and there's all kinds of electrics, of course. There's plug-in hybrids and, of course, pure battery electrics as well. And it was kind of sold to us early on that battery electrics would be less problematic than the typical conventional car. There's less to go wrong, basically, mechanically, in these vehicles, but that hasn't turned out to be the case. Explain that to us a little bit.
Yeah, so battery electrics and plug-in electric hybrids are, more problematic than their gasoline counterparts. I mean, a lot of it, again, there is just, it's a lot of contenting. I mean, you get those cars, they come with the full suite of driving assistance features and everything, all wireless charging pads. And so it's, larger screens. They were what brought this larger screens into the car. So, I mean, just a lot more to go wrong. One of the things that was interesting this year is battery electrics. So full electric vehicles actually performed better than the plug-in versions this year. Again, largely due to Tesla's improvements. But if you think about plug-in hybrids now, I mean, we're talking about a lot more opportunity there for things to go wrong because we have electric motors as well as gasoline motors. So we're getting transmission shifting issues as well as charging issues and everything on those cars. So, not really surprised at this point that they're becoming more problematic with just the level of complexity in those with both electric and gasoline motors in them.
Yeah. Tell us about the brands that did particularly well.
So Lexus actually came back as the number one brand this year. Lexus had a good improvement and moved all the way up from 8th to number one in the rankings this year. Nissan was actually the number one mass market brand this year. They've been steadily moving up in the rankings year after year. So had a really good incline this year, going all the way up from 6th to 2nd in the industry. And Hyundai remains, third overall within the industry. So, some really solid performers in there. There was some variation in a lot of brands too this year because there was a lot of late launches going on in the industry this year where brands just took a lot longer to change over from the 24 to the 25 model year. So that also impacted a lot of brands as we just saw that late changeover. But some other brands, you know, Cadillac, you know, did have a good improvement again this year. You know, they produced a lot of electric models. You know, Optiq came out this year, did much better than Lyriq when it launched. So, you know, definitely a good improvement for their electrification there, for the Cadillac brand overall. You know, one of the things we saw this year, just a lot of the models that launched this year, we had actually one of the worst year for launches overall in the industry. Out of all the launches that occurred, actually only two of them did better than their segment average. So launches were really poor, and that really impacted, you know, a lot of brands out there that were very launch heavy this year.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that surprised me on the list was where Toyota placed, which was under industry average. I mean, we mostly consider Toyota, you know, top drawer in terms of quality.
And that was part of, like I mentioned, the launches this year. Toyota had, I mean, obviously a large number of launches this year. I mean, Camry came out this year, obviously a very big volume vehicle for them. So when you launch your volume vehicle, I mean, launches always tend to be a little more problematic than carryover models. So, you know, that was an impact on Toyota there with Camry launching and its high volume this year kind of made them slip a little bit in the rankings.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how the consumer can look at IQS, and the results are readily available at jdpower.com. And use that as somewhat of a guide to what they might consider.
No, for sure. And I mean, that's how when they go, the consumers go to our site, you know, they're able to see, you know, specifically what they're looking for. So I'm looking for a premium small SUV or a large sedan or something. Or, you know, we break it out by each of those segments so they can see, you know, what models are really performing well in that area they're looking for. You know, so they understand, you know, where the quality issues are, which is it powertrain types of issues or is it interior types of issues, so they can even go into greater detail to see, you know, where those issues really lie for those vehicles they're researching. You know, I mean, obviously these cars are more expensive than they've ever been when you look at some of those prices anymore, and they're keeping them for a lot longer. I mean, obviously quality is something, you know, you really got to be aware of anymore because you need it to last with that investment you're spending. So,
yeah. Well, and even the release itself calls out the top, generally the top three in each of the important segments out there. So that's a good place to start your shopping list, I would think, is vehicles.
For sure. I mean, the press release does give the top three, which in each of the segments. So it's a great place to kick off your, you know, shopping and what you're looking for before you head out to the dealership to see, you know, where you actually should be heading.
Right. Another critical study you do, of course, is the vehicle dependability study. It kind of goes hand in hand with this, kind of similar, but after 3 years of ownership, I think. Talk about how those go hand in hand.
Yeah, so, well, the IQS gives you the impression of how we are at 90 days. VDS gives you that look at 3 years then. So after the ownership period and you've had the car longer, you know, what type of problems can you expect to arise, you know? You know, as your car gets older, do you get more squeaks and rattles? Is the car settled in and aged? Kind of like people do. As we all get older, we all get a little squeakier and rattlier. So, you know, how does that hold up? So it gives you a better idea of that degradation over time to understand, you know, how's the car going to hold up, you know, going past that 90 days into that 3 year period. Yeah. The other one we have is coming out in a month is the appeal study, which is the, you know, what we're getting ready to launch shortly. That actually is the complement to IQS. So, you know, customers do have these problems with their vehicle. It also shows, you know, where they're super happy about their car. And, you know, you see that with the big screens. Customers have problems with them, but they definitely find them appealing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And a lot of people are excited about cars, even somewhat problem-filled cars, because the excitement overwhelms the problems, I think. So
exactly. And that's where you can see that good balance between the two of, you know, they might have problems, but there's still that passion behind, you know, some of these cars that, you know, it's all about the ownership experience and getting it in driving.
Well, Frank, thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it. Frank Hanley of JD Power talking about the initial quality study for 2025. And we're going to have you back again to talk about appeal. And thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it as always.
And stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
I'm I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with co-host Matthew Lorenzo. It's Jeff Murad back with you. It is listener question time. We love to get your questions and comments. Send them along to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. And here's a question. I'm curious as to Matt's answer to this question. It's from Ginny in Park City, Utah. Ginny says this: I think my car needs some attention and I'm not sure what to do about it. Should I go to the dealership for service or find a local mechanic?
Well, it depends on how old the car is. If it's relatively new and still may be under warranty for some things, definitely take it to the dealership. And building a relationship with your dealer will help from a service point of view. So I still take, we have a car that's probably about 7 years old. I still take it for the dealer for routine maintenance. Any older than that, though, it's always good to have a really good mechanic that you can trust.
Yeah, well, I reiterate that. You know, my brother operated his own independent shop for the better part of 40 years. So getting a mechanic you can trust is like finding gold, I think. It's really terrific. They're not available on every corner, so ask around. Ask people that you know about their experience with various local mechanics, and that'll help you find a mechanic that you might be able to trust. That wraps up our show for this week. Matt, remind us the name of your book and how to get it.
I've written a book called How to Buy an Affordable Electric Car, A Tightwad's Guide to EV Ownership. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at my site, tightwadgarage.com.
You should look for it. It's a terrific book, kind of a primer in how to buy and own an affordable EV, if that isn't an oxymoron. My new crime novel, Only One Thing Stays the Same, is now available. It's both an ebook and paperback. It's at Amazon. We have links to both Matt's book and my book in the show notes, so look for that. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week and let your friends know where you hear America on the Road. And Matt, we have a podcast on several podcast outlets, correct?
Yes. Yes. You know, wherever you find your local, from Apple to
Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of
Spotify,
those.
Spotify, iHeartRadio, another good ones, iHeart, yep.
We have YouTube and Rumble channels. Check those out. Please subscribe if you'd like, and check our America on the Road Made in America shorts on the YouTube channel. Those are available now. Our thanks to Mercury Insurance for sponsoring the show, and to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying it. Most of all, thanks to you for listening. We do appreciate the fact that you're listening to America on the Road, and we hope you join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.